You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A real man said that day on his cross, "I am thirsty."
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Jesus, you died for us, and we thank you. You paid the price for our sins, and we accept your forgiveness. You are the Son of God and Savior of the world. We trust you to see us through life and through death to life again. Hear our prayer and give us your joy. Amen. A real man said on the cross that day, "I am thirsty." It is the shortest of all his words recorded that day. To some it seems the least significant, something like a parenthesis between the other important parts. After all those great, moving, profound words of forgiveness, love, and eternal life, this "I am thirsty" sounds terribly earthy, very much like any other man dying of wounds inflicted upon him. That's exactly what this word wants to tell us. It is precisely the reason his men have recorded it. They wanted us to know something about him. He died, really died, as real men die. This is not an actor playing a role, nor is it a momentary slip on the part of someone who is trying to conceal what is happening to him. It is not a sly appeal for sympathy. He was in need of more than sympathy. It is like a grim hospital bulletin telling us how critical his condition really is. In pain, in agony, burning up with fever, this man says, "I am thirsty." A little over a year ago, I had the privilege of talking to a marvelous group of doctors and nurses attending a convention on missionary medicine at Wheaton College in Wheaton, Illinois. They came from 34 different countries and were talking about their work, some of the most selfless service being given by anybody anywhere in the world today. After being introduced by a distinguished physician and surgeon from Philadelphia, I spoke about the realness of Jesus Christ, the reality of his person, the reality of his work, the reality of redemption, and the reality of life in him. At one point, I took this little word of his as supreme evidence of how real his death was. He was thirsty, and that's real. When I came down from the stage, the medical doctor who had introduced me was moved almost to tears. He told me about his son, 21 years of age, who had been fatally injured 4 years before in a mountain climbing expedition. He was the lead man in his team, and had just made his way to a ledge above the rest of the young men. He said, "It looks as if this rock might come apart." Just then it did, and he came tumbling down with the rock falling all around him. The next man on the team snugged him by the rope with which he was held and let him down to a ledge below. The boys climbed down there and were with him for the 10 minutes before his death. They came back to report that during those 10 minutes, his son had said two things. First of all, he said, "It hurts." And then he said, "I'm thirsty." From his long experience in medicine, the father understood that kind of language. It's for real. It was the language of the man who died that day on his cross. And he's for real. A real man really suffered and really died on a hill outside the city wall that day. He's for real. And so is everything about him. His sonship with the Father. His claim to be the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promise to the world. He is the Savior of the world. John tells us what happened. Jesus knew that by now everything had been completed. In order to make the scripture come true, he said, "I am thirsty." A bowl was there full of cheap wine. They soaked a sponge in the wine, put it on a branch of hyssop, and lifted it up to his lips. The reality of that is not open to question. Faith in God has been having a tough time during this latter half of the 20th century. Within little more than a generation, people have moved through three stages, turning from the revelation of God to a revelation of science, and then to a period of feeling that there is no revelation at all and that life has no meaning. People turned from the worship of God to the worship of science, and when that failed, they began to question whether there is anything at all to worship. At the midpoint of this century, people were crowning Freud as the new Moses, and some of them made Darwin out to be the new Paul. Those new prophets petered out, and then there were no prophets at all. People talked glibly about freedom and celebration, but what they really knew was the bitter taste of doubt and emptiness. People everywhere are frightened. In my lifetime, I can't remember an age like this one, when people did not know where to turn. They rejoice in the exploration of the moon, and then begin to question the value of it all. The new promises so much, and then quickly becomes the old, in a world where there is nothing really new under the sun, and no real promise of a better life looms on the horizon. Into this sodden mess of time and history, knifes the promise of God. It comes in a man, a real one, sent by God to do his will and his work. "My food," the man said, "is to do the will of him that sent me." It was and it is as simple and as profound as that. I must admit it takes a lot of faith to believe that. Things like that don't happen every day. This happened only once. But it's good for all time. It takes a lot of faith to believe that God could do his thing in this way, with this real man dying this terribly real death, as men everywhere have to die. Now all of it finally comes down to this: I am thirsty. It's not a pretty picture, but it's for real. It's so real, this humanity of the Son of God, this cross of his with its horrible agony, that it has become what St. Paul called a scandal, a stumbling block, an obstacle to faith for many people. This is not the way they would have done things, and they can't bring themselves to believe that God would do them in that way. God is for real, and so is his Son, Jesus Christ. He's a real man, really born, really walking and talking with his disciples, really on his way to Jerusalem, really crucified and really dying. It's not a typically religious story. It's real. There are many religious stories telling about princely people who contemplated life and then came up with suggestions about how the world might better itself. That's not the story of Jesus Christ. From a royal line he came, yes. But his birth brought him no privilege, no royal power, no earthly kingdom, no special advantages. In his early life, there are only a few historical facts until he came on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom. People began to listen to him, and a band of disciples collected around him. Then his opponents started to unite against him. misrepresenting everything he said and did. They charged him with fomenting a political revolt. No more than 3 years later, he was dying on that cross at the place of the skull. And the whole thing came to this. I am thirsty. That's God breaking into our world. It's hard to believe, but it's real. It cuts through the fog of philosophy, speculation, and meditation. It meets every man right where he is, wondering about life and worrying about death. There is Jesus Christ in the middle of it all, himself experiencing everything that is human, knowing the assaults of doubt about God, feeling everything that happens to people, their loss and their loneliness, their sin and their death. He took it all as the man he was, never giving up his deity, his divine sonship with the Father. He was content to be a man. That same man who turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana, on his cross depended upon a soldier to quench his thirst with some cheap wine. There's no sham here. I'm glad his men told us what he said on the cross, that he was thirsty. I have to know, just as you do, that it's for real. Now I know this is not play acting. It is authentic, like the suffering of the psalmist. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou dost lay me in the dust of death. Jesus Christ said laconically, simply, without sentimentality, I am thirsty. It is just one word in the original text of the New Testament, one little word with a whole world of meaning in it. The judgment of God against human sin is real. Hell is real. Sin has its reward. Death is not a picnic. We struggle against it, try to prevent it, do everything in our power to postpone it. But eventually it comes anyway. Death is an enemy. The Bible calls it the last enemy. When all the enemies have been met and conquered, death remains implacably hostile to all of mankind. In that hostility there is anger. It is the anger of God against human sin. Anger begets anger. That's why people get angry whenever somebody begins to talk about death, and why those who are left behind often yield themselves to open expressions of anger when someone has died. That's authentic. Into all of that hostility, God sent his Son to remove the judgment and the anger. He died, really died, and was buried. He tasted the bitterness of death for us all. In that doing for us, he overcame. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He bore in his own body our sins on that cross of his. He was made to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin at all. And the air, once and for all, has been cleared. There's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. He died. That's history. He died for me. That's faith. In him I have forgiveness. That's life. By his forgiveness I'm changed, renewed, transformed, revived. That's love. All the old hostility is past and gone. I'm a new man in Christ. That's for real. There's nothing special about me. There's something mighty special about him. He is for you as he is for me. His atonement, his forgiveness, his life, his love, that's for you. If you don't take my word for it, take his. Behold, he said, I make all things new. Jesus knew that by now everything had been completed. And in order to make the scripture come true, he said, I am thirsty. In the middle of a battle, soldiers have been known not to pay attention to a painful wound. In the middle of an exciting contest, An athlete may suffer a painful injury, but he plays to the end of a game before he becomes aware of its existence. Frequently after a car accident, a man will take care of his wife and children only to discover that he himself has been seriously hurt. Our Lord's first concern was with the people, his enemies, that his Father would forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing. That poor man on the cross to his right, not knowing where to turn, offering him the immediate gift of being in paradise with him. His mother, that she might not be in want. Now he remembered where he was, and became conscious of a burning, throat-parching thirst. And then, John would have us know, he remembered what he was doing, dying as a real man for real men, as the promise of God said he would, that the scripture might come true now that everything had been completed. He said, I am thirsty. He really suffered and really died, my friend. He really suffered and died for you. He suffered and died for us all. In that death of his for you, go free to live, really live. It was all for you. And now it's all offered to you. His forgiveness, which is real forgiveness. His life, which is real life. His love, real love. His salvation, real salvation. We have a Savior, said the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews. A high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. One who in every respect has been tempted as we are, but without sinning. Let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm all for that. How about you? I'm for him as he is for me. How about you? He is for you. Amen.
Listening to a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.